Tales of the Stupid.
That sounded really less enthusiastic than usual.
Because I got really no Tales of the Stupid.
Yeah, I got nothing either.
Oh, fuck, I've got a stack.
Yeah, I know. So,
I know. I wasn't here last show.
I know Tits and Cave Troll and Mr. Mayhem all have their own little stories. So I will step out of the way and I will allow all of you to basically go on.
Now, just before they start, I'd like to say that we'd all like Tales from the Stupid to go away, but there's an unending supply of stupid to keep them coming. So, having said that, carry on, Mr.
Woo! I got attacked by my first real downtown homeless guy. It was awesome. He was crazy and on meth. And he jumped on me. It was phenomenal.
Was it a whole bunch of...
Awesome. Like, I was just sitting at the door. He comes in and goes, I'd like to use your bathroom. And I'm like, no, crazy method. You can't use my bathroom. And he's like, why not, Mr. Big Bouncer Guy? And I'm like, because you're high on meth and dirty and homeless. And so you can't use my bathroom. He took offense to this. He jumped on me. And the thing is that when he jumped on me, he actually managed to get his arms all the way around my shoulders.
Wow.
And I thought he was going for my neck, like a zombie. So I put my arm up in between us.
You preach it, brother.
And he tried to headbutt me. So I just leaned forward. Apparently, homeless people bend backwards. Because his feet were still on the ground, but his head hit the wall. I don't know how that worked. But I bent him all the way back. And he still wouldn't let go of me. And I thought he was going to rip my shirt, which he didn't. Because I didn't have to buy a new shirt. That's good. And he wouldn't let go. And he kept trying to, like, put his forehead into my nose. And so I just started dribbling his head against the door.
Bouncy methods. I like it.
And then my boss came up behind me with a, what the fuck? And I went, I don't know, crazy homeless dude. Won't let go of me. And so I opened the door, and I managed to get him, pry him off me, and I threw him a good 3 or 4 feet from the doorway, and my boss closed the door, and all we hear is this, wham! And then nothing. My boss looks up and goes, oh, and closes the door again. The guy had actually run face first, like full bull charge, right into the door, and knocked himself out. So he's bleeding from the face. And my boss is like, now I gotta call the cops, because this looks bad. We got a bleeding homeless guy on our doorstep. So the cops come, and the cops are like, take the guy's statement, and then turn to me, and go, okay, what happened? And I start telling him, okay, homeless dude comes up, obviously on drugs. I denied him access. He tried to get in. I laid my hand on him, denied him access again. He then attacked me. I removed him. He attacked me again. I banged his head off against the door trying to get him off of me and then proceeded to throw his ass to the sidewalk. He then got up and ran himself into my door, which is on camera. The cop's like, yep, there he is. So right from the door. Now, the thing is the cops are dealing with it really well. They took his statement. They took mine. But the cop, when he turned to me to take my statement, was like, okay, and... At this point, I'm like, okay, well, they both are statements, you know, I might actually get charged until pending, you know, because this has happened before. You get charged late just until they can find out what happens. I'm like, oh, this will add to my CPIC file. Woo! Unfortunately, when the cop turns away from the meth head to ask me my story, the meth head goes, don't you fucking turn away from me, you fucking pig. At this point... I giggled.
The cop even looked at me. He didn't show it, but he was giggling too.
No, the cop looked at me, raised an eyebrow, because I'm laughing. I'm openly laughing. And the cop's like, one second, sir. Turns back and goes, what did you say? And he's like, don't you fucking ignore me, pig. I told you my story. This guy's a fucking liar. You're going to take you're going to take his word over fucking mine? Blah, 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 blah. You fucking pig. Blah, 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 blah. And I'm just... I'm chortling a little under my breath, but trying to look, just kind of stare off into space, going, yeah, this is over. Because all the cop does is raise an eyebrow, uh-huh. Charlie, I'm going to need you back over here. Yeah, what? Oh, yeah, no, just come on back. It's fine. No, you don't need to take a statement from the manager anymore. No, it's fine. Yeah, no, it's all good. It's a Barker comes over. And they cuff him.
Yeah.
And then the partner goes off to go watch the video. And the guy said, you guys are pompous assholes. And then the partner walks out of the bar, walks up, and the one cop's like, hey, Charlie, yeah, this guy thinks you're a pompous asshole. And the guy turns around and goes, no, not him. You're the pompous asshole. But you just said we were. No, but I wasn't talking about him. And they just started playing with him at that point.
Nice.
And then the paramedics showed up, and they started laughing.
Oh, God.
And at this point, it's just become a fucking shit show. I'm literally like three cop cars, an ambulance, and this bleeding meth head who's like freaking the hell out. And I'm standing there going, I just didn't want to let him use the bathroom. The boss is like, it's okay, go back inside. So that was my first downtown homeless guy.
Oh, you had your first homeless guy, too.
Yeah, I'll let you tell your story first.
No, I don't
know.
Oh, no,
I got one more. I promised this guy, because I actually told him about the podcast, he's actually been listening to us, waiting to hear his story.
Sorry to whoever you are.
This is for Frank the Irishman.
Oh, not this idiot.
Oh, yeah. No, it was great. I was just standing at the door, and there was this big... Someone spilled an entire pitcher of beer all over a table. And the busser runs up with a towel, soaks it all up, and comes out running out past me, going, oh, I got too much to do, I'm just going to squeeze... And he squeezes out a towel that has an entire pitcher of beer in it, like... And it hits the ground, and he goes to turn his back, and this Irish guy hits the ground, starts licking the ground. Oh, my God! Oh, it tastes like alcohol. Oh, God. Look at the waste of beer. I'm like... That, I can't even talk about the stereotype viewing. You just sent... I literally turned away. You just sent Ireland back 200 years, man. Right there. And I handed him my card with the Uncle Dax show on it, and I went, you've made the show. I made sure it was spelled properly, and then I got his name. It's Frank. He's from Ireland. And apparently he really liked ground beer.
No.
It's true, Dak.
No, we're not that bad.
I've seen you that bad.
But the thing is that it was funny because he just out of nowhere he just turns, sees the busser squeezing the beer out, and goes no, and just face plants himself on the ground. Oh God, beer, waste of a beer. And then he stands up and turns back to his friends, and goes, so anyways, and I'm like, no, you don't get away that easy, idiot. You're gonna be on my show. What's your fucking name? He's like, Frank. I'm like, okay, Frank, you're on the Uncle Dax show. Here's a card.
Oh God,
I gave him a receipt for his idiocy. God.
You actually had cards made up.
No, I made a card. I decorated it. I put a border around it. And I made the UncleDaxShow.com. You are on the UncleDaxShow.com.
By the way, somebody else has a show, has a something, and I will try to have you, if we have enough time, to tack it on. It's about 10 minutes.
Uh-huh.
It is a Tale of the Stupid from Iron Angel Forge.
Oh. Did he send you an audio file?
Yes, he did.
Mm. Yeah, we should add it. Yeah,
okay. We'll try to add it.
So anyways, those are my two tales. I got in another fight with another Irishman this week as well. He took a swing at me. He missed. I didn't. I then proceeded to Frankenstein monster his ass was the description.
Oh, yeah, I grabbed him
both hands around his neck. Went, all the way down to the ground. Apparently, I looked exactly like Frankenstein monster killing a villager.
Nice.
All right. Pits.
And then when he was on the ground, me and Big Mike, who also weighs 410 pounds, were laying on him, and a hipster guy crouched down next to us, did the whole Japanese peace sign thing, like they like posed for a picture, and me and Mike both gave him the thumbs up while we're laying on this Irish dude.
Was there actually a picture taken?
Yeah, picture taken with this. But his thing is like this greasy hipster.
You should have got him to send you the picture. We could have put it on the website.
I would have loved that. Oh my God.
But we all did like the Japanese like the anime pose with the peace sign. Hey.
Wow, hipsters came in use for once. Yeah.
Okay, sorry, that's it. I'm okay. I had to make up for a month's worth of idiocy. So there was...
I should probably hit the road. I gotta get up early tomorrow.
Oh, you don't have any stories?
No.
Aww. Aww, Captain.
Wait a minute. Congratulations, Captain.
Oh, yeah, I got a new ship.
Yeah, no, but no idiots.
No idiots.
You've got no stories?
No.
High five, man. I wish I could go with no stories.
I've had no real big problems.
There's nothing I can talk about.
I had nothing that's even worth mentioning. It's just the same old type of normal stupid. Just somebody.
I guess the only real stupid I've had is that bitch that said that shit about me for DJing at her wedding. I haven't had too much crazy, unless I'm forgetting something that I should be ranting about.
You should have been down at Denny's last night.
I heard.
What happened? Oh,
come on.
Well, no, I didn't actually stick around for it, but the copious amounts of stupid that was pouring in there by the time I left at 1 a.m., was unbelievable.
I did not work last night, so I was not at Sandman, I was not at Denny's, and I did not have to deal with the crowd coming out of Sharks for their Halloween party.
Yeah, you know who was over at Sandman?
Yes.
Who?
One of Uncle Dak's boss's kids' friends.
They're running out of people.
Literally, 18-year-old rookie in the hotel.
He's not a rookie anymore.
On the Saturday before Halloween.
We just popped his idiot cherry right there. He's now going to be a cynical motherfucker.
I had two phone calls calling today to complain to me.
From who?
No, from people like, where the fuck were you? So I died off. I took my party. Do you know who they sent in there?
Yep.
You're an asshole.
Yep.
What's one of them, the baller?
No. He didn't work last night either.
He was smart and took the night off.
When he heard that I was not going to be there, he booked it off.
That's phenomenal.
Go on, tell your story.
Mayhem said he had a story, but you gotta tell it.
Well, I've just gotta, like, the only thing before he goes off, because I know his is gonna be really, really good, but
I'm really, really long.
I did a wedding it was Thanksgiving long weekend. It was on a Sunday. There was about 50 people at this wedding. The bride was fucking miserable, and I did everything I could to get the party going. We always send out these client survey cards to all of our clients. It's an email. You know, how did we do?
Yeah.
She said she would never recommend us to anybody because I was dressed like a slob. And I was unpersonable. And I never introduced myself. Okay, I was wearing a $200 outfit. And every time I went near her, she was busy being consoled by at least 5 people about something.
Because nothing was perfect at her wedding.
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. I love those people.
Yeah.
They're miserable all the time. That makes me happy.
Yep.
Did you mention the denomination of the wedding?
Oh, yeah. They all go to the Christian Life Assembly.
Sweet. Book burners. I love book burners.
Yeah.
They're really good to kick in the nuts.
To clarify to the people who do not live in this area, the one and only time I got invited by a friend to go to the CLA for a youth night, they were waving flags, convulsing on the floor, proclaiming miracles, and talking about the book burning on Saturday. Sweet. And when they found out that it was my first time there, they dragged me up to the front of the church and, like, everyone laid their hands on me and prayed.
I got thrown out of there.
I remember that.
Yep. I've been thrown out of
the
church.
I went to the high school next to there.
No.
I referred to that as the place where the pod people come from. Because I would literally have friends one year, and then next year they'd come back in the fall, and they were going to CLA now. And it's like, oh my god, they've been replaced by a pod person. And
it's
I didn't
you,
talk,
but
and
it's
I
not
did,
you.
And I didn't talk to them anymore.
Yeah.
Well, they physically threw me out of there because I went in and I stole their book of petitions, and I burned them all right on the doorstep. All the anti-gay, anti-abortion, all the... Yeah, I stole their entire book of like thousands and tens of thousands of signatures, and I burned it right on their doorstep.
Good for you.
Yeah, that was a hell of a night.
It was phenomenal. And they physically threw me off the property. It was phenomenal. I was like, this isn't very good. What would Jesus say? I believe I was screaming the entire way across the parking lot.
Yeah, I remember you showing up and telling that story. That was hilarious.
Jesus knew you guys called yourself Christians. He would have crucified himself.
He changed his name.
He would have been like all Jesus Christ. Anyways, the rest of the show is all up to you. Fill it in.
Oh, goody. Okay, well, my tale of the stupid, it wasn't actually going to be anything spectacular. Wasn't going to be anything too interesting.
Don't worry, we weren't expecting anything
else. Yeah. Well, no, that's the thing. It wasn't. Then I went to work today.
Well, this will be good.
Now, the people that we usually deal with, we always classify as stupid. But in hindsight, there's actually different variations of stupid. Anybody who's actually dealt with a stupid person will know this. Yep. There's, you know, you could fill 4 or 5 periodic table, element tables with the various degrees of stupid that you have to deal with on a day-to-day basis. Today, I had to deal with 3 different types of stupid. And one was actually a continuation from a few nights ago. The first one, which is what I like to call the absolutely clueless stupid. Woman comes in. Now, I'm working at the grocery store that actually had... I had the kid with the crab incident at. Mm-hmm. So, I'm working at the grocery store. I'm in the next aisle over. And I'm only hearing what's going on at this point. And all of a sudden, I hear this thud in the next aisle. Mm-hmm. And it sounds very reminiscent of, like, a bucket of sand hitting the ground.
Okay.
Like, somebody just had an open bucket of sand, and they just chucked it up on the ground.
Okay.
I was fairly close. What she had done was, apparently, she needed 2 cups of flour for this recipe that she was doing. So she went over to the bulk section, where they have all the, you know, the candy treats and everything, blah, blah, blah. They didn't have any flour there. So she had brought her measuring cup down with her to make sure she got 2 cups of flour. So she grabbed a bag, went over to the aisle where all the baking goods were, took her keys out,
tore open a
bag of flour in the middle of the aisle, and proceeded to put 2 cups of flour in a bag.
In a baggie.
Dear God.
Now, that's what I call the clueless stupid. That was the first one that I had to deal with today.
Retarded.
Oh, it gets better. Now, the second variation of stupid that I had to deal with today is like what I like to call the ignorant stupid. Now, the ignorant stupid on this occasion actually had nothing to do with a customer whatsoever. This was one of the managers. Now, this is what happens when a clueless stupid becomes important in their own mind. They become the ignorant stupid. They have an idea that's tossed at them, and they go run with it, and all of a sudden they figure, you know, oh, this is good. You know, I can't go wrong now. This guy, I'll call him Mr. Cuntface. This guy. Because that's the thing. He's this big manager.
Is he related to Malcontent's dick liquor?
He could be. He could very well be. But this guy, you could tell that he went to college, had all these aspirations to do things. He got himself a low-level job at a grocery store, never went anywhere, came up to be a manager, and now he's the top shit in the store.
Because mm-hmm. That's as far as he's ever going to get, in life.
Exactly.
He might as well lord it over everyone around.
Exactly. So anyway, he finds me in the store. And technically, they're not supposed to interact with me. I'm a customer, right? If they have to say anything to me, they say, oh, can I help you find something, blah, blah, blah. Pretty much to go along with the illusion that I am a customer. Mm-hmm. So he comes up to me and
he
says,
"Hey, loss prevention, dude."
Yeah, pretty much. he comes up to me and he says, "Why aren't you following that girl over there?" I'm like, "What girl?" He's like, "That one over there." I'm like, because I'd seen her come in.
Yeah.
And she automatically put up a red flag as soon as she came in. Mm-hmm. But after observing her, I backed off really, really quick. And you'll know why. I'm like, "Okay, yeah, the 13 or 14-year-old over there with her mom? Yeah. Why aren't you following her? The one wearing the hoodie? Yeah, her. The one with the hood up? Yeah, that's her." I'm like, "The 13 or 14-year-old girl, from what I can tell, has leukemia."
Not leukemia.
It was some sort of radiation treatment, that's for sure.
Oh, okay, her. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I thought you were talking about that.
No.
The other handicapped girl.
Okay. No. The 13 or 14-year-old girl with leukemia who has the hood up on her hoodie because she's out in public. And she's probably a little self-conscious about it because she has absolutely no hair on her head. You want me to follow her? Yeah, why aren't you following her? Well, I figured she has enough problems that I don't have to really add to it. So I'm not going to follow her around the store. I don't really think she's a threat. Yeah, but we have a no hood policy here. That's great.
You want to go tell her that?
That's exactly what I said. I said, "Why don't you go tell the little sick dying girl that she can't have her hood on in your store?"
Did you actually say those words?
I did.
I love you.
Because I sure as fuck am not going to do it.
Sorry for the pause there, folks. I really had to shake his hand.
So he did.
No.
So he did.
Fucking retard.
And the mother tore out his eyes.
Pretty much. She gave him a real good slap across the face.
Good.
Left the cart of groceries there and walked out of the store.
I hope she fucking sues.
Well, that's exactly what I said to him when he came back. I said, "You're going to be lucky if you don't get a lawsuit out of this now."
And so, he still thought he was right, didn't he?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, self-righteous prick.
He called my field manager.
Okay.
He talked to my field manager and asked him why I was disobeying him. So I talked to my field manager, and I told him exactly what was going on. And I put my field manager on speakerphone. He's like, "Okay, let me talk to him." I'm like, "Okay," because I wanted to hear this too, so I put it on speakerphone. He's like, "What the fuck are you thinking?" And Cuntface, Mr. Cuntface, wearing his nice little green apron with his first name on it, but you can't call him by his first name, so you have to call him Mr. Cuntface. "Yeah, what the fuck are you thinking? I'm not talking to him. I'm talking to you, you dick." And at that point, I'm like, "Okay, I'm satisfied. I'm going back downstairs now."
Yeah.
So I don't know what happened with the rest of that. So
I don't think you're going to get written up in any way, shape, or form.
I doubt it.
Maybe a commendation. Fucking hazardous.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to send you there. Yeah. I didn't realize he was such a dick.
Pretty much. So anyway, that was the second idiot that I had to deal with today.
That was today. Oh shit!
If the mother actually does pursue a lawsuit, I'd offer to back her up.
I would. I would in a heartbeat.
And so he can't say that basically he didn't know. The security, the loss prevention officer in the store
informed him
that I'm not going to ask her because the girl has leukemia. That's why she has no hair. That's I can tell that is by looking at her. So yeah. I'm not going to go do
only
it.
Only an ignoramus.
That's just it. Like I said to him, you know, she's got enough problems as it is with, you know, she's obviously self-conscious about it. That's why she's wearing the hood. I'm not going to follow her around the store or make it look like that I'm gawking at her even more. That's just fucking cruel. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure as fuck I'm not going to tell her to take the hood off. Okay, anyway, the third idiot that I had to deal with today
Type number three for those of you counting at home.
Yep.
Is a return idiot.
Is a return idiot. Yes. This guy I had to deal with on Thursday. So, Thursday night, I'm coming off my break, my last break of the night.
Oh, no.
And I'm heading into the store when I get stopped by a, as Cave Troll put it, a meth-addicted homeless person.
I knew the beginning of the story, so I'll be right back.
Meth-addicted, I'm not sure, but apparently he's homeless. No, and he says to me, "Hey man, I need some money." That's great. We all need money.
That's why I'm working.
So I'm going to go back inside now. apparently he didn't like this. So he grabbed a hold of my jacket to keep me from going. And I have to add, at this point there's an entire parking lot full of witnesses to this. So I had to say in the loudest voice I possibly could, "Dude, you better let me go right now or you're not going to like what's going to happen next." Now, it's not going to help any of you out there, but it'll help the people in the room here. This guy was probably about VD's height with Longbeard's body frame. So, tall and wiry, right?
Yeah. But actually, did he have any muscle bulk to him?
No.
No, but he's tall, so he's...
Like, he's a beanpole.
Yeah, he's a beanpole.
He's a skell.
Yeah, he's a skell. Yeah, he's a skell, pretty much. So, I tell him, "You better let me go or you're not going to like what's going to happen next." So, he proceeds to rough me up some more by turning me towards him and putting both hands on his shoulders, trying to tower over me. Well, at this point, I went and put my hands up on his arms, wrapped his arms around him, pulled myself up, and headbutted him in the bridge of the nose.
Yeah, you did. I'm so proud.
He goes staggering back a little bit. I grab a hold of him, and I put him down on the ground.
You cuffed him then, right?
No, I didn't cuff him at this point. He was, you know, he was screaming a little bit.
But his nose is now spread all over his face.
Yeah, it's spread all over his face, and he's screaming a bit, so... yeah, anyway, he's down on the ground, I'm on the phone with the cops. It's like, okay, yeah, I got this aggressive panhandler down here, he needs to be taken care of. He tried to shake me down for some money, and he actually put hands on me to try to shake me down for money. And the dispatch on the other end, she's like, "Okay, well, where is he now?" I'm like, "Well, currently I'm kneeling on his head." She's like, "Oh, so that's him screaming?" I'm like, "Yeah, that's him screaming. He's down on the curb and I'm kneeling on his head." And at this point, he tried to push himself up, which is never a good idea. Especially when you got somebody kneeling on your head. So I took the pressure on it off of his head, moved back a couple inches, and then put my knee into the small of his back.
Crunch.
Crunch, put him back down on the ground. And then he really started to thrash. So at that point, I put the cuffs on him to keep him from going anywhere. But all this time, I'm on the phone with the cops, by the way. And anyway, he's still trying to get up by the time the cops get there, and I'm literally sitting on him on the curb because I didn't want to sit on the curb because he kept trying to get up even with the cuffs on. Trying to get up with the cuffs on.
It's a lumpy pillow.
So anyway, like I said, you know, parking lot full of witnesses. They all clearly heard me tell him to let go of me, so I mean, no charges are going to be filed against me, of course. But anyway, that happened on Thursday night. Now, to add to the copious amounts of stupid that I already had today, guess who shows up again today?
Ding, ding,
at
ding.
The same store.
Round two.
This time,
Bayham versus homeless dude.
Finish him.
Finish him.
This time, he's actually smartened up a little bit.
Homeless combat.
He shows up with a nice fresh bandage on his nose, mind you. Shows up with two of his buddies.
Oh no.
And a broken hockey stick.
Aww.
That's cute.
I step out of the grocery store to go out and have a smoke, and I see them standing out there, and they see me.
Did you wave?
I nodded. I nodded in their general direction, like, hey, how's it going?
How's the nose?
So I'm thinking to myself, okay, this is going to turn bad. So I
just call the cops right now.
Yeah, I was on. I pull out the phone. I start calling the cops, and they start coming towards me. I'm like, oh, okay, fuck. I'm not going to take this inside the store. Luckily, the store is attached to a nice little mall. So let's go back inside into the mall. They follow me into the mall.
Cameras everywhere.
Now, at this point, I would love to get a hold of this camera footage because I know that there is no way I'm going to be able to properly defend myself against three guys at once. One with a broken hockey stick.
Best thing to do is to hit first and hit hard.
Yep. So, I put myself into the mall, try to keep my back off the wall as much as possible, try to surround myself with as many people in there as I possibly can, but at this point, the mall is full of nothing but geriatrics and Mexicans. So, no help there.
What?
Yeah. Yeah, Mexicans with baseball bats. Figure that one out.
What?
Mm-hmm. There's a youth center that's also attached to the mall, and apparently that's where they all go to play baseball.
Oh.
Or learn how to break into cars. I don't know which one.
Hey!
It is a youth center.
Both of you.
Got something against junior achievement?
I used to go to a youth center. He's got a point.
Baldeville! Go on.
That's where I learned how to shoot pool and make bombs out of anything.
Mm-hmm. So, I'm still on the phone with I'm on the phone with 911, and I'm telling them, yeah, this is probably going to turn serious really quick because it looks like these guys want to shove this stick up my ass. So,
I don't think it's a gay thing.
I don't think it's going to be very pleasurable.
I am a popsicle.
My name is Steve.
But anyway,
it's a lust prevention officer. Ollie Steak.
I tried the best I could to stay out of actual stores.
Yeah.
But luckily, the mall is equipped with, you know, nice seated areas and other various things all spread all over the place in the actual inside.
So you played cat and mouse with them
throughout the mall. I played cat and mouse with them throughout the mall, yeah.
And nobody knows a mall like a loss prevention officer.
Mm-hmm.
So you just kept walking and they were following you?
Well, I started walking and they kept following me. And at about 2 minutes after getting inside and walking around, they decided that they've had enough of following me and they're going to chase me down now. So, I start beating it, and use what I like to call my copious knowledge of Jackie Chan movies, and use the drunken monkey technique, where I use pretty much anything I could possibly find to get in between me and them. Throwing, you know, knocking over potted plants, knocking over chairs, pretty much anything to stay away from these guys. So, I'm doing all this while on the phone with the cops. Luckily, somebody called backup for me. They called the mall security guards.
Oh, dear. Hey, you guys! Stop! Hey! You know, you can't do that. Hey, guy. Hey, buddy.
So, yeah.
I'm going to tell Mr. Henderson you're in real trouble.
Tackled you.
No, they didn't tackle me because they actually do know me.
Oh,
so,
okay.
They didn't tackle me. But these guys, compared to guys like us, and, okay, normal security, there is a certain standard. I mean, okay, we do things, you know, and whatever. The mall cops are just that. They are guys who wanted to be cops and never became cops.
Oh, no, don't tell me they're the wannabes.
Oh, yeah. They are.
So they jumped in.
Keeners.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I love keeners.
Actually,
so,
wee!
Yeah, but all three of these guys...
It's just like a Jason Statham movie.
All three of these security guards who showed up also suffer from short man syndrome.
Sweet.
Because they're all tiny compared to me.
Sweet, they're fun. So, yep. And we slow them down enough that you can take them out.
Pretty much. I'm thinking to myself, okay, three of them on one of them, that leaves two for me. Okay.
Now odds are even. Even.
Should be good now.
Yeah, the fight's almost even. The hobbits showed up.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much.
Holy shit.
So they
wanted you to get out of the bar so you'd be safer. What the fuck?
Golly, Mr. Frodo. You get the big one.
So two of them take one of them down. The third grabs another one, which leaves...
The blade glows when death heads are...
But of course, the two that they're occupying... The two that they're occupying, of course, aren't the one with the hockey stick.
Oh, the sword you got from the barrow glows when the crackheads are around.
So the two homeless guys that the three security guards are occupying are, of course...
Not
the ones with the broken hockey stick.
Yes, yes, yes.
So anyway, the one with the broken hockey stick turns to see what's happening to his buddies.
Jump him.
Yep, I did exactly at that point. I went and put him down.
Well, you made the mistake of not looking at him during the fight. Right.
I learned
that. You thought I would fight fair.
I learned that lesson. Don't turn your eye. Turn your eye. Ever turn your eye.
And put him down on the ground. So I cuffed the guy that I've got.
Seriously, it was that easy?
It was that easy.
You got a hockey stick, dude. What are you doing?
It was that easy.
For the homeless guy. It's just so lame.
No, I went and bear hugged his legs, took him to the ground, and put the cuffs on him. So then I go to help the other guys who are struggling with the other two. One of them finally gives up. He's like, okay, I'm done. The other one's still fighting. I'm like, okay, well, I got the cuffs on the one guy. The one guy's giving up. You know, this guy's not giving up. Put your cuffs on him and, you know, we'll be done with this. Then I thought to myself, wait, mall cops.
They don't have
cuffs.
Oh.
Fuck. So I'm literally wading through a mountain of security guards, three security guards now on top of this guy, wading through them to get on top of him to pretty much end it right there.
You have your second pair of cuffs?
I didn't have my second pair of cuffs on me. They were in the car. But
lesson learned.
Yeah. As we all know, a knee to the neck always helps calm a person down.
But it's not that it calms them down, it's just that it doesn't really matter to you if they're angry anymore.
No, it's like picking up an angry cat. The neck.
Well, yeah, knee across the neck, and I had his arm up in a chicken wing, pretty much.
Mr. He Schaefer, was is that true? If I grab you by the back of the neck, will you calm down?
No.
He's already calm. The sugar rush is gone. So, yeah, that was my Sunday. It was.
What happened when the cops showed up? There's a whole bunch of, what are you doing here?
Yeah, actually, I did deal with one of the cops that I had to deal with was the same one that I dealt with on the Thursday night. It's like, he looks at me, he's like, is this going to be a common thing?
Well, ask he keeps him. Showing up with hockey sticks.
That's what I said. I'm like, talk to that guy.
Are they actually going to fully charge the guy?
I really hope so. I said, you know, I'm fully prepared to put charges against, not so much the other two. I mean, I don't really give a shit about the other two, but I'll put charges against this guy. Oh, that was the other funny thing. This guy's, you know, saying that he's homeless and everything. This was on the Thursday night. Oh, you know, I need money because I'm fucking homeless, blah, blah, blah. While I was kneeling on his neck, all he kept screaming at me was, I just want to go home. I want to go home. Wait a minute. 5 minutes ago, you were telling me you were homeless.
Where are you going to?
Where are you going to? You don't have a home. But the cops gave him a home. Well, The hospital actually gave him a home, and then the cops gave him a home.
when you tackled him, he hit his broken nose. I'm hoping.
Yeah, I kind of hope so, too. Yeah, because, well, yeah, he was, of course, the one with the hockey stick. So.
Well, he's lucky you were in a good mood. I would have dribbled his head for a while. Fully justified, man.
Stop resisting, wham! Stop resisting, wham!
Well, yeah, well, that's just it. You gotta keep resisting, and you're going to get hurt.
So. Anyone else got anything?
Actually, I did remember one from this week. Actually, it was from Friday at work. I haven't had any tales of the stupid from my new job yet, so this is actually kind of exciting. I have a lovely South African lady that does reception at my work. And
you were telling me this.
Yeah. It's a drapery hardware store. We sell curtain rods, finials, brackets, anything to hang... curtains or drapes and all that. We also sell fabrics and blah blah blah. Yep. So
I'm not going there, so stop selling.
Shut up. This is part of
the
story.
He's got curtains.
This is part of the story. So it's mainly warehouse. We have a very limited showroom.
You make me want to toss some cats in there and watch real fun that happens. Curtains everywhere.
So we do occasionally have decorators show up and go, you know, I'm not certain about this versus that. I just wanted to see it in person. So we have a very small display. This lady comes in and she says to I'm just going to say her name, Jennifer, the receptionist. I called in earlier. I just set up a new account. And Jennifer just gotten off the phone with a lady named Joanne, very lovely lady. And she goes, oh, you're Joanne. This woman reaches over, grabs Jennifer's arm with both hands, peers into her face and says, do I look like a Joanne? I'm Bianca. And lets her go. And steps back. Creepy. She also now, poor Jen's already like, what the fuck?
I got one for you.
You look more like a Cruella de Vil.
Seriously, she was wearing an outfit that our in-house designer was mocking. She calls herself a designer, and she's wearing that yellow skirt scarf with a pink jacket. It's already starting. But she spends the next hour in our showroom. Like, we're not supposed to spend more than 10 minutes with these people. She's in there for an hour, and she's arguing with everyone that comes up to her. My boss, his wife the decorator, Jennifer the receptionist. But I want that finial. You know, the things that you put on the end of your curtain rods. The decorative little whimsical things.
Yeah.
I want that one. But I want it for a 1 1/8 rod. Well, that's only for a 3/4 inch rod. Well, make it fit. Why doesn't it fit?
Because sizes are different.
Let me explain spatial physics to you.
Because this has got a big hole, you should be understanding that. And the little thing won't hold on to it.
You wouldn't know anything about that.
Oh my god, she literally argued.
Your holes are far too small and tight.
No, this is going to sound bad, but this is the perfect place to make a dyke joke.
No.
You feel a little bad inside.
I do.
All the dykes I know.
I feel like I should send an apology letter to Ellen or something. I don't know.
So she finally leaves, and I could tell that the girls were a little riled up about all this because they were like running around like hummingbirds. Like, I can't believe that. I can't believe she said that. I can't believe she did this. Blah, blah, blah. Like, what the hell's going on? So they fill me in. I'm like, huh. See you next Tuesday. My boss's wife turns around and goes, where are you going? I said, no. See you next Tuesday. C-U-N-N-T. She goes, oh, you're calling her a twit?
Yeah, that's it.
Now I gotta go smoke now.
And then the light bulb goes off in her eyes. Go, why? She goes, duh! Well, does it fit? Well, yeah.
Oy, nice lady. No, apparently it
not
doesn't
too bright,
fit.
But nice lady.
Nice lady, not too bright.
No, she yeah,
apparently
amazing.
It, she was apparently just... it doesn't fit.
Fuck, whoa.
No, she is amazing. I love her so much. She just, was
when,
a little
when the idiot's, when the idiot's there, just do that demonstration. Here's the hole. Here's the peg. You know, this just doesn't work. See, I can rattle it around in there. I'm sorry. And sorry, folks. Visual gag. I am holding up my hand. I am touching my ring finger to my thumb.
Making a hole.
And I'm taking the index finger of my right hand, placing it inside that ring and rattling it around like a cock in a loose cunt.
Wow, it really did... It really did take about 1,000 words to draw that mental picture. But it was so worth it.
This was all culminated with the most awkward conversation I've ever had with my boss up to now. When he came up to my desk while I was packing something to ship out, and he goes, "Come here, smell this and tell me if it smells funny."
What?
And I'm laughing at him like, "What?" What? He's like, "No, seriously, come here and sniff this."
My lawyer's on the phone.
I hope it was his lunch he was talking about.
No, it was a roll of fabric. Apparently one of our customers called up and started screaming because we sent her like 16 yards of lining, and when she opened it up, it smelled of fish. And it smelled so bad, it stunk up her entire workroom, and she couldn't even get near it. And I'm like, okay.
Did it smell like fish?
Apparently, one of our sales reps went over there, and yeah, her whole workroom smelled of rotten fish. I'm like, well, you know, maybe she should wash.
Wow, the jokes are just going to stay there, aren't they? They went to that place, and they're just not going away.
Seriously, it looks exactly like a cock in a loose nut right there. That's exactly
you do realize like. That this started with the cock conversation with Cock Brothers earlier.
You're just locked in there, aren't you?
Yeah.
What are you not doing?
She's been sick.
Apparently you need a brother. She needs two of you.
All right. Yeah. On that note, and a sour one it is. If we have a chance, we'll put on...
We have room, yes.
We will have room.
Iron Angel Forges... Great little story. So, a tale from the stupid, as he calls it, the tale of the stupid warm fuzzy kitten by Iron Angel. And it's not anything like what you think. All right, everybody, thanks. Sorry we were gone for so long, but we're back. Yay!
Yay!
All right, and I am going to drug the rest of these fucktards before next episode. See you later, everybody. Bye-bye.
Don't forget castle. To ride!
Yeah, I didn't stop recording.
Okay,
I think I picked it up.
Howdy, everybody, at the Uncle Dax Show. It's Iron Angel with my own personal... Tales of the Stupid. I figured for the first one, I probably needed to point out some of my own stupidity, as well as those around me. So, yeah, here goes. This takes place a while ago, roughly August of 1992 or 1993, I can't remember exactly, at River Oaks Park in Kalamazoo, Michigan. And yeah, it's a real place. Any guys listening, you might want to cross your legs now. Because down the road, that's going to be important. I've been a blacksmith for just short of about 30 years. I'm pretty used to fire. I'm pretty used to getting burned and the like. It really doesn't bother me. It's just part of the job. Like any job, you know, after a while you adapt to it and you get the safety equipment to help protect yourself. Usually I wear a heavy set of engineer boots, a leather apron. I tuck the pants into the engineer boots and blouse them over the top. So that any kind of sparks or hot flakes of steel falling off the work or anvil don't end up setting my socks on fire again. With all that said, this will come up important down the road. I was at the Silverleaf Renaissance Fair, where I was the village blacksmith, a little tiny tent Renaissance Fair outside of Kalamazoo in a park that was more mosquitoes than air and all that good stuff. And I do a lot of these shows, and I've done it for a long time. I'm pretty used to it. It's... kind of like a theme art show if you've never been to a Renaissance fair. But the behind-the-scenes stuff is a lot of fun and fodder for way more tales to come because, holy crap, do they ever attract stupid. I'm a lot more acute about fire safety than most people, and I often get asked to come down and oversee the big campfires. There's always one big central campfire where everybody comes down to party and drink and stuff, so we can keep an eye on people so they don't drink themselves to death or drown in their own vomit or something like that. And I often end up being the designated overseer on that. Quite often, I'll just sit back off to the side and let somebody else go up and tend the fire and all that kind of silliness, because I tend to build a much smaller fire than they like. It was about 2 a.m. on a Friday, and it was the end of the setup day, and the morons decided to start throwing large, broken-up wooden pallets onto the fire. And they built a really, really nice white man fire, you know, the kind you can see from space. And slowly, one by one, the drunks wandered off or passed out, and security had to haul them back to their tent or whatever. And my buddy Drago and I decided it was best if we stayed up with the Inferno and waited until it died down some. Considering that you're, you know, really kind of in the middle of a tent city, leaving a large, raging conflagration really wasn't a good idea. Neither Drago or I have been drinking, because we know how these things tend to go, and we both have to be functional in the morning. But we were both pretty damn tired, pretty exhausted, because the setup days are always pretty long, and you know, they start real early and they tend to go real late. So we've both been up for a good 20 hours of hard labor plus driving in and whatnot. So we decided, you know, if nothing else, we could rake all the coals together once it died down and bank the extra sand up around the outside of it, and then, you know, hand off to the cook when the cook got up. By about 4 o'clock, the fire was down to just a huge bed of coals. We raked it all in, started banking it up, and the sparks had really died out and stuff, so it wasn't much of an issue anymore. And Drago says, "Well, you know, I'm tired, but I'm really not that tired, you know. So I'll stay up till the cook gets up. It's only another hour." So about 5 o'clock in the morning, I headed to bed. Finally, got sleep, and at 6 a.m., somebody's outside scratching on the outside wall of the tent feverishly. Ian, wake up. My show name, you know. "We need you, man. Wake up." I came to with a start. I thought something was wrong. You know, the fire had broken out, or someone was injured or something like that. So I shoot up, stick my head out real quick, look around. "What's going on?" "Hey, they're doing a live remote for TV3. They want you to come out and do an interview and want to have you doing stuff and all that kind of stuff, you know, when they were filming, right?" "You woke me up to be on TV. You bastards." Okay, I'll admit, I'm a shameless self-promoter. If there's a TV crew around, I will probably find some way to weasel myself onto being on TV, because it might lead to sales. Never seems to, but, you know, in theory, it might. So, all right, fine. I got dressed, kind of half-assed. I got my pants on right side out for a change. That's something. And I staggered out and went over to lit the forge up. Now, a forge is basically a metal table with a fire sitting on top of it, and some sort of blower system that blows up air underneath of it. And a coal forge, which I'm using for these kind of shows, produces a pretty good amount of smoke when you first fire it up, and I wanted to get that burned off real quick. And it takes about 30 minutes to burn all this smoke and stuff off to get a decent, clean, working fire. I got everything set up and was running and pushing hard, and finally got it going good right as the film crew shows up. Right at just before 7 a.m. sharp, this little blonde reporter girl comes trotting up there with her cameraman, sets up, pretty much completely ignores me. I'm standing, you know, at the anvil about 10 feet behind her. And she's got this high-pitched little squeaky sing-song voice. "I'm here at the..." And she's very breathy. "I'm here at the Silverleaf Renaissance Fair today." Oh, my God. Okay. I'm looking at the camera. I'm looking at the cameraman. I can tell he hates her voice, too. I'm fatigued. I don't particularly like this woman to begin with. You know, I've seen her on TV, and I've always thought she was kind of a vapid, self-centered, irritating woman. I look at him, he looks at me. I'm looking at that damn little red light, waiting for it to go off. And I'm hoping that he's at least getting my sign and frame for some shameless self-promotion, that kind of stuff. I suspect I looked fairly grim. I was, you know, already covered in soot, because for some reason I imagine I can get soot on my face. I got bloodshot eyes, my hair's kind of screwed up off to one side, you know, just looking rough. You know, like all good TV movie and Hollywood blacksmiths, you know. And I'm banging on a hunk of steel, and she's over there just yammering away about how wonderful things are. And I feel a warm, fuzzy kitten rub up against my right leg. Now, I knew there were no warm, fuzzy kittens on the site today, and that could mean only one thing. I have a leg hair fire. and it's climbing fast. So I'm back there dancing and kind of trying to get the top of my left leg wrapped around and rubbing up and down, you know, get the top of my boot rubbing up and down to try and put this fire out. No, to no avail. I glance up at the camera. The little red light's still glaring back at me, mocking me. And nobody seems to have really noticed what's going on. So I dance some more. I'm sure I look to the home viewers like I really had to pee. Now, I don't know if you guys know this or not, but as a hair fire burns upward, it also spreads outward. And as it spreads outward, this particular hair fire was already wrapping my right leg pretty fully. At this point, it's well above the knee and moving fast, and this was going to suck. Now, in the end, it burned out when it hit the apron belt, the big, heavy, wide leather belt at the top of the apron. But that was mostly because there's no more fuel left for its little journey. From about the right hip bone all the way around to about the pocket on the back, or I'm sorry, the left hip bone there, you know, all the way around to the left hip pocket is now pretty much laid bare, but a forest fire. I was now completely fur-free. And I realized I had just set my junk on fire on live TV. I doubt very many other people can really say that. This was years before Jackass or anything like that, but I may have the singular distinction of being the only person to set their balls on fire on live TV. A hair fire is a pretty fast fire, so there's no major burns or anything like that, but it's just one of those embarrassing as hell things that I didn't tell anybody about for years. But wait, there's more. The live remote finally gets done, and the irritating little girl wanders off without ever even acknowledging me or thanking me for, you know, being up at this hour or anything like that. Oh, fine, CIR. So I go over and get in the chow line. They got a big, you know, big kitchen and stuff. And since we were kind enough to give them a really nice big cooking fire, it was all a bed of coals and stuff, I figure I at least deserve some free breakfast out of this crap. And I'm standing there in the line, and the cameraman comes up, and he says, you were dancing around pretty bad back there. You have to go to the bathroom? Nah, I'm okay now, man. It's all good. Thanks. So apparently it wasn't a whole lot of smoke pouring out of my pants or anything like that. You know, there's enough forge smoke in the background. I think you probably couldn't see it. But, you know, visually it's pretty nice, but at least it hid the smoke coming out of my pant leg. And, I'm standing there and not in a real great mood. And this other just way too bright and happy guy comes up in line behind me. Weird smell. What cologne is that? I very slowly turn around and glare at him. Burning blacksmith taint hair. His next response, is that from Calvin Klein? And that's my multi-stage encounter with the stupid. Thanks for listening, guys. Have a great time. I hope one day to earn my honorary roundtable idiot card. Iron Angel, out.
There's a monster in my pants, and it does a nasty pants. When it moves in and out, everybody starts to shout.
razor sharp beak. Gosh, would you look at that thing? I thought it thought dinosaurs were extinct.
Yeah, I mean, and there's a fellow named James Hughes who teaches in.